Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what fracking is? Yes, you heard me right. Fracking. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to learn more about energy and our environment at the same time? Have you ever wanted to know why it has been so important to reduce carbon dioxide emissions? Now, would you like to learn what happens when energy resources result in lower energy costs? Well, we found that out because we put solar paneling in. Have you ever heard of a book called Fracking, America's Alternative Energy Revolution? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to conserve energy by fracking? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. Today is his first time that he's been on the show. And he is an author and success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about energy. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on six networks with over 4.5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. He has been the managing partner of a mid-sized independent financial advisory firm for 28 years. His interest in the world of shale gas and oil sprang up from a question a client asked. The question was, isn't this fracking thing dangerous to the earth? So, as a concerned citizen and as a financial analyst, he approached the industry from the bottom and he worked his way to the top. He has visited frack rigs in Texas, refineries on the Gulf, pipelines in the West, as well as environmental lawyers, roustabouts, tool pushers, engineers, geologists, and senior energy executives. He hopes to bring the world of fracking to you so that you can be informed and make decisions on a subject that is very important in our lives today. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today, John Graves. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much, January. Congratulations on your brilliant listening audience.
Oh, thank you. We're very proud and happy, and I'm thrilled to have so many, and I figured I don't have a family that big, so there must be a lot of people out there who have discovered this show who aren't related to me. Speaking of relationships, I discovered before we went on the air that you and I both were, our phones are in the same area code, and we both spent a lot of time in California. Now, where were you born and raised?
Arcadia.
Arcadia.
And raised across the valley, also in my folks traveled, so we were raised in Florida and in Texas.
Okay. Okay. So mostly your success story began in California. Share a little bit about what it was like growing up in Arcadia and who were your early mentors in your life?
Davy Crockett.
Okay. That's great.
Instantly comes to mind when I was probably 6 years old in 1954, we drove to Disneyland, which was probably an hour and a half, 2 hour drive without freeways.
Sure.
Yeah, and I was just fascinated by this wonderland, this adventure.
And
I remember riding stagecoach in Adventureland, in Frontierland.
Yeah.
And it was a real stagecoach, real horses. Yeah.
Did you have one of the hats that he used to wear with the tail?
The coonskin cap.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I have some wonderful memories of going to Disneyland because I was raised in Michigan, and I got out to California in 1966, and going to Disneyland was just one of the most unbelievable experiences in anyone's life, and I guess it probably still is. So, okay, you were raised in Arcadia, and then you went to Disneyland where you got your inspiration. And then what did your dad do? What did your family do?
My dad was a pressman. He was an offset pressman and had blue ink under his fingers. So back in the days when if you wanted something then, you had to run it through a print shop. That's what he did.
Okay. All right.
Blue collar work.
Okay. So was my dad. Okay. So then where did you eventually settle and where did you go into your financial advisory firm?
The firm is in Ventura, and we settled in Ojai about 25 years ago. And I got into it because I just needed a change of pace. So my previous career, I had been a chef. And I was just tired of working in kitchens. I needed something else because I was beginning to whine, and we know no whining is allowed.
Yeah, that's not allowed. And what does CLU stand for?
Chartered Life Underwriter.
Okay, because when I saw it, and what does CHFC stand for?
Chartered Financial Consultant.
Okay, because when I saw the CLU in that Ventura area, there's a wonderful college, California Lutheran, and that was where their letters.
That's right, yeah.
So I thought maybe you were involved with them. For our listeners' information, Ventura is between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, so it's right up the coast, and Ojai is further in, beautiful areas. Okay, so now you were a financial advisor for 28 years. What prompted you to was this customer asking, isn't franking thing dangerous? Is that what prompted you to get involved?
It was. That was the catalyst that spurred my interest to begin investigating in more detail. I had written a previous book called The 7% Solution, and it was essentially on what I do for a living, trying to help people understand better mechanics of managing money so they could do it themselves. So I was used to writing and enjoyed it, and probably the most interesting part of writing is doing the research, which I love to do.
I feel that way too. I love research. Briefly, could you talk a little bit about what fracking is? Because I have to tell you, I've never heard that term, so I'm a newbie on this topic. Share with us what it is.
Sure. Fracking is essentially extracting oil or natural gas from deep beneath our feet by drilling a hole in the ground and pouring down into that hole a significant amount of water and sand and a few chemicals. And the water forces open the rocks down below, and the sand particles stay there as once the water is pumped out, holds those fractures open, hence fracturing. The oil and the gas flows up the hole and goes into refineries and ultimately into our cars and our electric power plants.
Okay. And so this is our alternative energy revolution. How will that come about? Who's doing this fracking?
That's a great question. Thank you. It's not really being done by the large companies like Exxon or Shell. No, it's being done by small independent guys and gals working in the field, putting down one well at a time. And they're very low cost and very smart about what they do. And they're very nimble as a result. They're able to drill one hole, drill 100 holes, or pull back from that and go back to just drilling two or three holes at a time. So they are I call it the alternative energy revolution because it's an alternative way of drilling. It's an alternative source for oil and natural gas. No one's ever done this before. And it's a functional alternative to what most people think of that in terms of wind and solar and geothermal and that sort of thing.
Okay, so now my next question is, who created this technique or this procedure, and when did it come into being?
Good question. It was first developed in Oklahoma and in Texas about 1948, the same year I was born. And it took them from then until about 98 to figure out how to make the darn thing work. I mean, they would drill a hole in the ground and they would drop a bottle of nitroglycerin down there to try to break open the rock. They would drop hand grenades down there. And they had far more failures than they had successes. George Mitchell is the actual person in answer to your question. We finally figured out both how to drill a hole deep enough, how to what's called turn the bit, make the pipe turn from vertical to the horizontal. And then ultimately how to break open that pipe, force water and sand down into it, and force open rocks that hold the oil and gas. So George Mitchell was the one who finally figured out all the steps in the process.
Okay, and where is this done now, today, as we speak?
Most popularly in Texas, across the panhandle in the central part of Texas called the Permian Basin, which has been drilling for oil since the late 1800s, and also in around the San Antonio area, what's called the Eagleford, and then in North Dakota in the Bakken Fields, which is a brand new oil field that's only been in production for about 11 years, from zero to a million barrels a day in 11 years. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Also Arkansas and Louisiana and Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Okay. Now, what is the chemical that they mix in with the water and sand?
Very good question. It's essentially the biocide and detergents and
Okay. Wow.
You asked.
I'm getting some great information here, and right now we're going to get some great information from our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more with John Graves, the author of Fracking, America's Alternative Energy Revolution. We'll be right back.
Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. The Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine, certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive. She brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channeled journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. We're visiting with our guest today, John Graves, and he is the author of Fracking, Alternative Energy Revolution That Is Taking Place. You know, John, I looked at your book and you mentioned that right now there are 2.5 million wells that are fracking here in this country. Is there any opposition to this procedure?
There certainly is. Probably centers primarily in California, but also in New York. California has set up a very high legal barrier to any kind of fracking, and New York has essentially banned it from any possibility in that state. The concerns are voiced essentially by environmentalists who feel that the water might be being polluted, the groundwater, that the we need to get beyond hydrocarbon, beyond gas and oil to power our lifestyle, and people who want to ensure that government money flows to alternative energy sources such as wind, geothermal, solar, rather than to oil and gas.
Okay. Now, in your book, you talk about offering an understanding of the recent story. Could you give us an overview of the energy resources demands and the production that is currently taking place in the United States?
Sure. I'll be as brief as possible. It's a very complex situation. Because of fracking, the U.S. has increased its oil production from a little less than 5 million barrels a day to twice that, 10 million barrels a day. Because of that, we are not importing very much oil at all. In fact, just last week, we exported our first shipload of crude oil.
Wow.
So because we are producing a significant amount of what we need, other countries such as OPEC and Russia and Venezuela, et cetera, are no longer able to sell their oil to us. The globe produces more oil, more crude and methane than it uses. So we have far more supply than we have demand. As a result, economics 101, the price of energy, particularly for us driving cars, going down. Except for us in California. So here in Florida, the price of gasoline is $1.83 a gallon. We haven't seen those numbers in a long time.
No.
Is essentially because we are fracking in the U.S. and we are producing massive amounts of crude oil.
Now, do the oil companies do this fracking, or who actually does it?
A few of them do, but they are more keen on developing massive wells and, or massive oil fields. Fracking is more designed for small wells and small fields because it's so inexpensive and fairly straightforward to do. So big oil companies and large national oil companies will spend billions to draw out billions of barrels of oil from deep beneath their feet. Fracking is more local, more suburban. And so the answer to the question is no. Large companies occasionally will buy a fracking company, but for the most part, the independents are the fractors, not the big. Good question.
Well, I'm thinking I need to know who these companies are, because this may be something I should tell my broker about. This would probably be something wonderful to invest in, since you're in a financial advisor. What's your thought about that?
Well, that's another great query, because it was the end of my pursuit of the story, was to put the string in a knot, bringing it back to what I do for a living. And yes, for people who are retirees who are living off of the income from their portfolios, energy companies that are publicly traded tend to pay pretty significant dividends. And dividends are easily distributed to those of us who are retired. So yes, energy companies can be a very good source for a small portion of a portfolio, 10 or 15% of a portfolio.
Okay, and I think this is something, since we're on a fixed income and we're always looking for dividends, I think this is something I will explore with my husband. Right now, let's talk about Chapter 3 and the global energy resources that drive the global market. Because, you know, we always read and see about people talking about the oil in Saudi and all over the world. Give your overview on what that situation is.
Okay. I used to work in Saudi Arabia, as a matter of fact. So
really?
Yes. I'm familiar with the sands of the desert. The Middle East produces a significant amount of oil. Russia is actually the number one oil producer, followed very closely by Saudi Arabia, and then very close third is the U.S. All of us produce about 10.5 million barrels per day.
Wow.
And all the rest of the world, the Venezuelans, the Nigerians, the Algerians, et cetera, those countries produce smaller, less significant amounts. So the global story is most oil is available comes from three primary sources, but two of those sources, Russia and Saudi Arabia, are completely controlled by the governments.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in America, the government doesn't yet control any of the oil resources. So independent companies can go out and spend their own money and dig for oil and find it and sell it and make a profit. That's the difference.
Now, do countries like Russia and Saudi Arabia, do they do fracking?
No. Number one, they sit on massive fields of petroleum. They literally drop a straw a few thousand feet into the ground, and the oil comes up. They don't really need to do it. Fracking is more intensive in looking for smaller pockets of oil. Also looking for pockets of oil that are deeper. So it's a more challenging task to fracture the earth to find the soil. But by the same token, it's far less costly to fracture than it is for the bigs to produce their oil. And that gives the small independent U.S. frackers much more impetus to dig for more and to sell more, because they can sell even when oil, as today, prices at $32 a barrel, many of the small companies can still make a profit at that price, whereas the bigs typically don't make a profit at anything less than 70 or 80 a barrel.
Okay, so this sounds kind of like a little bit maybe like the gold rush, where...
Well, yeah.
You know, where anyone could go and start panning for gold and make a fortune. Yeah, you're right. 3 million jobs will be created in the oil and gas industry before the end of this decade. These are well-paid, demanding, dangerous, and important jobs, with skills learned only in the field. When you say dangerous, how dangerous is it?
Very dangerous. These are jobs that you have to pay attention every second that you're there, because you're playing with very large pieces of very heavy metal.
Okay.
You're spinning at very high RPMs. It's much like driving a car 80 miles an hour. You don't have a second to look at what's on the side of the road. You just pay attention to what's ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
Very demanding, very physically and emotionally, intellectually demanding work. And the guys and gals get paid pretty significant sums for working in the field.
Uh-huh. So these are high-risk jobs, and they're paid accordingly. Well, you know, when I drive, I should probably be paid accordingly because I can be pretty dangerous in a car.
No problem.
Okay, good. Smart guy. This is an incredible increase in energy resources, and this actually incrementally lowers energy costs for everyone. Lower gas, electricity, power, heating are the direct results of the extraction of gas from oil-fracked wells. So you would think a lot of people would be in favor to this. I suppose the opposition comes from the big oil companies, doesn't it?
The opposition actually comes from the environmental left.
Environmental?
Yes. Those people who feel that we need to stop burning hydrocarbons and start using more wind and solar and geothermal. One of the secrets that I discovered, one of the amazing pieces that I discovered about this is that in addition to oil being fracked, natural gas is also fracked, particularly in Pennsylvania and in Ohio. That natural gas is piped directly to public utilities, and it substitutes for coal. Now, when a utility burns coal, they produce a significant amount of carbon dioxide emissions. When a utility burns methane, natural gas, the carbon dioxide emissions are reduced by at least 50%. So one would think the environmentalists would be more in favor of such a forward-looking fuel source.
Now, when they're fracking natural gas, is that the same procedure as when they're fracking oil?
Exactly the same technique, yes.
Okay.
It's a different end result. Methane is the smell of rotten eggs. It's what you get when you turn your gas on or your barbecue on or your fireplace on. That's our natural gas.
Okay. Okay.
And,
we're going to take a break John, we're going to take a break right now and hear from our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about fracking with John Graves. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Priceless Personalities is also now available at audiblebooks.com. Today we have a priceless personality visiting with us, John Graves, and he is the author of Fracking, America's Alternative Energy Revolution. Now, John, could you share your website information with our listeners and how they can contact you and where they can get your book?
Well, thank you very much. It's www.frackusa.com. It's FRACKUSA.com. Uh-huh. And if they want to go to the site, they can download a free excerpt from the book to read. And also
okay.
order the book directly through Amazon as a Kindle book.
What other books have you written?
I've just finished a third. My first book was called The 7% Solution, and it was about designing your retirement portfolio so that you can fire me.
Okay. I'll send that to my broker. Okay. And you shared with me earlier that you have another book coming out the end of this month, and you're going to be back on the show in February. We'll be talking about your new book. What's the name of the new book?
Thank you. The book is called Broken Wings, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. It'll be out on January 26th. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. And what's that book about?
It's about wind energy. Wind turbines and the challenges that they present and the opportunities that I've discovered through my research into other ways of generating wind energy without killing literally hundreds of thousands of birds each year.
Wow. Okay. Well, that'll be fascinating. And you'll be back with us in February. Now, tell me truthfully, did you ever think you would be an author?
Actually, I've always wanted to be a writer. Yes, I did.
Well, see, I can ask that question because I wrote my first book when I was 50 years old. So for anyone listening who has a book and loves doing research, it's never too late. What does your family think about your writing career?
Well, that's a good question also. I had a dinner and a glass of wine with my wife about 7 years ago, and I said, I would like to have Monday to Thursday between 7 and 10 p.m. Uh-huh. and either Saturday or Sunday for 6 hours to do research and write. Uh-huh. Is that going to fit into our lifestyle? And she asked me about what I was going to write, and she said, yes, of course. Get out of my hair, please. Go ahead.
Okay, so now I have to ask the big question. How long have you been married?
I've been married to my best friend for 28 lovely years.
Okay. Well, I'm also with my best friend, and we've just celebrated 45 years. And I'll tell you, life's a lot easier if you're hanging out with your best friend.
Yes, ma'am, you're right there.
Okay, so let's get back. It's fun visiting with you. Let's get back to the overview of potential production arenas in our country. Where will this take place?
The most interesting area is in southern Wyoming and central and northern Colorado. It's called the Niobrara. That's for oil. It's very difficult to frack because the ground is so ruptured. If oil comes back to 60 or 70 a barrel, they will open those fields up. The Eagle Ford in Texas has been open for about 5 years, and it's seen a significant increase in production, but at $32 a barrel, they're shutting wells down there pretty quickly. And the same in North Dakota. The interesting game is in Ohio and Pennsylvania, uh-huh. which is truly uh-huh. a source of natural gas for most of the people in New England and in the mid-states. That they fracked an area called the Marcellus, which is uh-huh. down about 8,000 feet. Below that, a field at 16,000 feet, which is four times the size of the Marcellus. It's called the Utica. And those two fields will provide enough natural gas to this country for at least another 70 or 80 years.
Wow. Now, tell me, how, How long does it take to drill down 16,000 feet? Forever?
No, you know, that's interesting. The when I was in the field working with the guys, the roustabouts and the roughnecks 6 years ago, it would take 30 days.
Oh,
and it
gosh.
Was one hole. Today, in February of last year, an oil company drilled 10 holes simultaneously.
Ooh,
down 16,000 feet and then out 2 miles horizontally. And it did all of that in 17 days.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Amazing. Now, when they do this simultaneously, do they have one drill or do they have 10 drills?
One drill. They drop a hole. And it's literally on legs. It or caterpillar tracks. It moves across the berm about 50 feet. Drop down and, well, there it might take them 7 or 8 days to put that hole in. It'll move another 100 feet and do the same thing. So it's a repetitive process.
Uh-huh.
And the guys who do this can get down a mile in about 3 days.
Oh, gosh, that's amazing. So now my next question, obviously, is what's the company that makes the drills and how do I invest
in them? There you go. Well, the billionaire, Howard Hughes, the senior, was the guy who invented the drill bit that's used today. Yeah.
Sure.
So Hughes, that firm was the originator. Now there are more than 1,200 different types of drill bits, depending upon the rock, depending upon the pressure, depending upon the area, depending upon what they're drilling for, et cetera. So there's a massive variety of choices. And the final answer to your question, given the nature of this plummet in oil and gas prices, it's probably wise to keep your powder dry throughout the spring and early summer of this year, is my guess.
Yeah.
You can call your broker in June or July and tell them to start looking for things for you.
Okay. I'm writing all this down. I'm taking notes.
We have a phrase, God, you don't want to try to catch a falling knife.
Oh, okay. That's very
market
good.
Market is falling.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the environmental lobby? Are they as powerful as the NRA?
Much more so. Much, much more so. They control the White House.
Uh-huh.
They control most regulatory agencies, including the EPA. They control the state of California and the state of New York. They are extremely powerful people, and they have a point of view. And for better or for worse, it's a battle royale between them and the frackers.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do the frackers feel about the pipeline controversy?
Keystone Pipeline. Well, the funny thing there is Keystone would have been pipeline number 7. There are already 6 pipelines running across the border. They were very simple to set up and get permitted. Why 7 took so long is not for us to talk about here today. That pipeline, as like the others, simply brings Canadian oil down to the Gulf Coast where it's refined into aviation fuel, diesel, gasoline, kerosene, paraffins, etc. And right now, it's okay that the Keystone isn't working because we have such a surface, such a glut of our own, our own crude oil, that the frackers are okay with it. They don't mind. It's the refiners, the end user, the guys who turn crude into gasoline.
Uh-huh.
Those guys are a little concerned.
Okay. This is a fascinating topic, and right now we're going to hear from our fascinating sponsors, and we'll be right back with John Graves.
Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed, but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, Meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast Success Stories with January Jones and my guest, John Graves. We're having a fascinating interview about fracking, which is a word, quite frankly, I had never heard of before, but I'm fascinated by it. John, let's go to Chapter 8, and that's where your alter ego, Dr. Jekyll, makes some interesting points. Could you just give us a summary of Chapter 8?
Remind me, because I don't have the book in front of me. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, this is that as a financial advisor, your interest in this world arose upon seeing the income possibilities for retired clients.
So when you invest in energy, you know, as we said earlier, we're looking for dividends because we want to live off our dividends when we retire. And energy companies, whether they're big companies such as Exxon or Shell or Oxy or Apache, they pay pretty nice dividends, 5 or 6%. Smaller independent firms pay dividends that might be 8 to 14%.
Okay.
And those smaller companies are typically in the format of what's called an MLP, a Master Limited Partnership, a type of stock. And again, you speak to your broker, and he'll immediately be able to pull up a list of not only individual companies themselves, of which there are about 130, but also ETFs, ETNs, and mutual funds that invest in those companies. And for many people, the ETF or the mutual fund choice is an easier approach to the question of how to buy in a good dividend-paying stocks.
Okay, and now if our listeners buy your book and they go to Chapter 18, will you give them the names of these companies?
No, I don't do that, January, because I wear two hats. I have two professions. One is a financial advisor and one is a journalist.
Yeah.
And if I were to put in names of companies into the book, then I would have to have the book approved by regulators. And I choose to be a Jekyll and Hyde, be a totally different person. So I will describe it in general, but I will urge each person to go to the websites that are in the book and use those websites to do their own research.
Okay, and or else talk to their financial advisors. And in Chapter 10, you give an overview of the challenges, risk, environmental concerns, and politics associated with fracking. Now, this basically is the meat of the matter. Controversy meets confusion. And then you end that with saying, hold on to your assets. What is that all about? I'm already to invest, and now I have to hold on to my assets.
Unfortunately, politics and belief systems enter into the energy equation. And by belief systems, what I mean is the story of climate change, of global warming, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And my essential position is that that's a bunch of hooey, that the climate has changed for several tens of millions of years, and the few of us who are now dominant species on the planet aren't really having that significant impact upon it. Number one. Number two, the carbon dioxide, which is what everyone now feels is a pollutant, is in fact what we exhale and what trees inhale to create oxygen. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, the more carbon dioxide there is in the atmosphere, the better plants live and thrive. Number three, because it's a religion, a belief system, it's not really fact-supported. And what I try to do in the book is to help people understand the facts regarding hydrocarbon use so that each person can make their own informed decision rather than follow a belief system. So the point of that is learn about these things so that you can protect your assets and so that you can make wise and informed decisions.
Okay. And basically, you end with this statement that the conclusions are yours to make. While the author's prejudices will inevitably crop up at times, his goal is not to persuade, but to provide you with information on the background, current knowledge, and the future potential of fracking, also the risk and rewards. You can form your own opinion. He does hope, however, that you or any other stakeholder won't draw an either or conclusion. So you have to, that kind of, this is a complex issue, isn't it?
Very complex issue. It is not black and white by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's like love or marriage. What is simple about marriage? You know?
Okay.
What is
yes.
simple about raising children? It's a very complex story. Therefore, I wrote the book so that people could make informed decisions.
Oh, wonderful. And how long did it take you to write this book?
Writing takes about 70-80% of your time involved in research and about 20-30% of the time actually writing. So I traveled about 12,000 miles across the country over not quite 16 months and then spent about 4.5 or 5 months writing the book.
Okay.
So all told, maybe 20 months.
Okay. That's a good number. It takes me 2 years to write a book, so I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with your number. Well, it's been delightful sharing you and sharing this information and great advice. It's our decision to make, and my decision is to have you back in February. Thank you for coming today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again.
Namaste. Thank you.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today about fracking. I've learned a lot, and I hope you have too. My upcoming guests will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you. This is a show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful and will help you to make some decisions of your own. I'd love to welcome you to our No Whining World. Sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, you need to stop whining, and then you need to start smiling, and then you can share our show with everyone you know. If that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, John Graves. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones Success Stories. I hope you enjoy the music.
Another day with a broken heart.
This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.